When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to the All-NBA Show, part of the All-City Podcast Network. I'm your host, Adam Matez. I'm joined by Tim Legler. Legs, what kind of prepper are you for the weekend? Now we have the eight games scheduled and ready to go. Do you, like, are you planned out where you're going to watch them, when, what you're going to eat? Like, how prepped are you?
Yeah, this is a weird first weekend for me because I've been on the road for the last 7 days away from home doing all these prep shows, like closing out the season and now previewing the play-in games, all that. And now here we are. Games are about to start on Saturday, and I'm actually going home for the weekend. I'll be seeing them all one way or another. Where I'm going to be yet, I don't really know. But I'm not back on TV again until Tuesday morning, so I've got a few days.
Probably feels amazing. I know how it is. Like, we love what we do, but when you get a couple days off, it feels unbelievable. And I see Ted in the comment here. Legler is an animal. ESPN all morning, straight to the podcast studio. Got to give the man some love. You guys have no idea. We're a couple minutes late. Yeah, Legs is literally scrambling from studio to show to studio to show. The schedule is amazing, man.
Just literally walked out of the studio with Mike Greenberg, and Greeny and I literally just walked for about 8 minutes together, and then he peeled off to go wherever he's headed, and I came to the hotel and run up, get my jacket and tie off, and here we go.
Yeah. We've got an abridged show for you today, guys. We're going to break down. We've been previewing all week. We've been doing different previews. If you're looking for a preview of the play-in games, we did that on yesterday's show, and you can also check the timestamps of the shows all week. We've gone through all the series. The ones we're going to key in on today are the Suns and the Timberwolves and the Cavs and the Magic. We'll also get to who won the week later in the segment. But first, we are presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook. Stay tuned, because later in the show, you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer. The crown is yours. All right, let's get started here, Legs. I keep going back and forth on what's the most interesting series. I think I have declared the Clippers and the Mavs the most interesting one, and I'll stay by it. I think it is. But there's a great case that Timberwolves and Suns is the best series. And the reason is, I think it has the highest stakes both ways. Whoever loses this series, it ruins the entire year. Forget whatever you think about the rest of the year. If you lose in the first round, that team is going to go home and have a really tough offseason of stewing in this. And that's why it might be the number one series.
I like that mentality. I would argue in a different way. I think Sixers-Knicks, because I think the winner of that series, and first of all, if Philly wins it, it means Embiid looks a lot better than he did the other night. The winner of that series, I think, is going to end up being in the conference finals. The winner of the Minnesota Phoenix series, I think it ends there, whoever wins it, because you run into Denver in the next round. But I hear what you're saying, and there's a lot at stake for both teams. Look, Minnesota had a great year, and they had some injuries at the end, which might have cost them the one seed, but they got Towns back now. They had a great year, and now it's, okay, is it going to be spoiled by getting bounced in the first round from a team that's got a lot of star talent, but obviously a wildly inconsistent year? That would feel like a deflating year. Like, it would feel like maybe a lot of what we did didn't matter. I think that's the feeling that they're going to have. And same thing for Phoenix. You know, it was at one point, it looked like they had no shot to make any noise. They played much better down the stretch and put themselves in a position, at least, where this series is now an interesting conversation on who's going to win it. But I hear you. If they go home in the first round with a team of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, yeah, how's that going to feel to those guys? So I agree with that. Like, the deflation factor of how you're going to feel your season ended, really high stakes for both of these teams.
Well, it's funny. I think your response to this shows everybody has just different personalities and different perspectives. I'm viewing it almost as who has the most to lose, and you're viewing it as who has the most to gain. The Knicks 76ers have the most to gain. They could go to the conference finals, and I'm looking at it as who's going to go out in the first round and be disappointed. But let's break into this here. So I think, though, as I was preparing for the show, I think the last game, they played three times, I believe, this year. The last one is the most telling one, in my opinion. You get Carl, and it was game 82. You get Carl Anthony Towns guarding Grayson Allen, which I think is really what, okay, that's going to be the story. You have a big lineup, and somebody is going to have a big on a small. And what happened in this one, the Suns did a very good, comfortable, and I would say easy job of putting Carl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert both in pick and roll. So Grayson Allen's not the number one pick and roll partner, but they would give him the ball, or they would run guard to guard action to get Carl Anthony Towns switched onto the ball and then run the pick and roll so that Cat and Gobert had to be in it with guys who are very comfortable pulling up from mid-range or from the three-point line and taking threes. That's just a hard ask. If we just start from there, this is the concern. That is a really hard ask of both guys. Carl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert guarding a pick and roll with a team that has four out spacing. That's a tough ask. And in game 82, the Suns made it look very easy. And I think that's the number one concern if you're the Timberwolves, is how easy it was for them to get those actions and get good looks out of them.
It was the number one reason I was not totally on board when they got Rudy Gobert in the first place. I was looking, saying to myself, wow, team's getting bigger and slower when the rest of the league's getting smaller and faster and more spread out. That's an interesting dynamic because teams don't look like the Timberwolves look with two bigs. And both of them are like okay on the perimeter defensively, but Gobert probably, I trust him a little bit more in that way, but that's not their inclination. They're better in the paint at the rim and defending that way. And so when you play in against teams with a modern offense with multiple three-point shooters at all times, and particularly a team like Phoenix that also has three lethal, ball screen ball handlers to start the whole thing, that is asking an awful lot out of Minnesota, and they exploited them in the last game to the tune of 16 made threes in that game for Phoenix, 16 right. for 29. If you're Minnesota and they made nine in that game and they're a low-volume three-point shooting team, they're not going to shoot a ton. It's crazy because Naz Reid's probably the most consistent three-point shooter that I trust, and he's your backup center. You can't lose by that kind of discrepancy at the three-point line. That just can't happen. I'm not saying Minnesota's got to make 12, 14, 15. What I'm saying is they might make 10, 11. That means Phoenix has to be somewhere in that area. Maybe they make a couple more than you. They can't go off to the tune of plus 21 from the three-point line. Can't happen. And that's going to be a very, very big part of this series. Now, look, in this game, Bradley Beal was 6 for 6. Grayson Allen was 3 for 3. Booker chipped in with 3. He was 3 for 8. But, you're not going to get 6 for 6 out of Beal. I get that. But in general, there's going to be a lot of three-point shots to be had for the Phoenix Suns because of the way Minnesota protects the paint, the way they close back to the rim with their size. There's going to be shots to be had for all these guys, Grayson Allen, Booker, Royce O'Neal, Bol Bol, whoever gets minutes in that spot. Shots to be had. If they shoot a high percentage of those shots, Phoenix is going to have a great chance to win this series.
Tell me if you agree with this. It's a little out of the box, but if you remember the Houston Rockets in 2018, teams would, because they were having such a hard time with that spread pick and roll, that teams just started chasing around over the top of screens and then guarding Harden almost from behind, trying to take away the step back and almost conceding him going to the basket and conceding him getting to the mid-range. Here's what I think. The Suns haven't proven to be consistently great at generating kickout threes. And the pick and roll, they're getting those pick and roll pull-up threes by design because they know Gobert's going to drop and it's Carl Anthony Towns. And they're not great at getting into the rim, and Minnesota's great at protecting the rim, saying, okay, we're going to keep you out of the rim. What they are great at is everything in between those zones. But here's the thing. You can't turn this into a 3-versus-2 battle, Minnesota. I wonder how much – I'm not want to say gimmicky, but I wonder how much if you have Carl Anthony Towns trying to fight through screens, I wonder if the key is just exaggeratedly go over the screen, force them into the mid-range, contest from behind, and make them make a bunch of pull-up mid-range shots. Even so, you're overextending to take away the threes off of pick and roll, and you're making them more vulnerable to the mid-range, which we know Phoenix Suns love. But at least there, you're trying to contain the pace and saying, all right, you're not giving up big runs.
Yeah, I like your thinking, but I think in this situation, I can't remember who was the team that did that year to Harden and when he was in Houston.
And I'm trying
It was so ridiculously
Utah. It was Utah with Gobert.
And Harden actually, it was strange to him because he literally had guys like on his back at 26 feet, like just right here, mirroring him behind him. And he's looking in front of him. And see, the thing is, Harden's not a great mid-range player. He's got decent little floaters at like 8 feet, but that's not the shot that was necessarily going to be there. He had like a pull-up 15-footer. That's not what Harden likes. He doesn't like that shot. So it was weird for him, disorienting. The difference, though, is the guys in that series that were doing it to him were smaller players. They were guards. They were forwards.
Yeah.
They were trying to chase him down the top. If you do that with bigger guys, it's going to take them forever to get back into the play. And I just think you're going to be so exposed to a team that has three of the best mid-range shooters, like really of their generation. I mean, I really believe that. Booker and Durant clearly, but I actually think that's a big part of what Bradley Beal's about, going back to his all his success, you know, in Washington particularly. This is what those guys love to do. So that's a tough one. I think it's going to come down to, for me, and I think Minnesota, this is going to be a long series. This was the hardest series for me to pick. I think it's going to come down to how physical the officials allow this to get. And if I get any taste of that or what these play-in games have looked like, that's going to benefit Minnesota, because there has been a lot more holding and grabbing and hand-checking and bumping and all of this stuff that you need to do to disrupt guys like Durant and Booker and Beal at the point of attack, at ball screen. And Minnesota's a good defensive team. If they're allowed to do that, Nickeil Alexander-Walker and McDaniels and these guys and Conley, they're allowed to grab and hold and put hands on waists and all that kind of stuff. If that happens, then Minnesota's got a great chance. They need it to be officiated in that way.
Yeah, and Jaden McDaniels is such he gets in foul trouble. This is part of his issue. He can be over-aggressive and he tries to get into your space. So to your point, allowing more physicality, if that slides, then he can be even more of an impact defender, which he's going to absolutely have to be. You're right about – and not even just an on-ball. He guarded – Devin Booker in their final matchup. And I thought he actually did a really good job. Devin Booker made some insane shots, and they did a good job of, again, running that double stagger screen and getting Karl-Anthony Towns switched out onto Booker or Naz Reid in those minutes. But Jaden McDaniel himself did a good job, and I think he can make a big impact. But he's also a phenomenal low man rotating, and you're going to get yourself into rotation a lot against this team because they play four out with Nurk rolling to the rim, and you have to rotate early to keep him off the boards. I think Jaden McDaniels has a huge role to play. So I'm with you. And by the way, I'm glad you called this out. It was a note I had, and we hadn't talked about it on the show yet. The play-in games have been really physical, really physical. And that's encouraging.
I've been shocked, honestly, to that extent that some of the officiating I was watching, how dramatically different it's been than the regular season. The amount of holding, grabbing, and contact with arms out on the perimeter, and they're allowing defenders to get into guys 35 feet from the basket, that just has not been allowed in the NBA. And you expect it to be an uptick in the postseason. We're not even there yet. We're not even in the postseason yet. And it was a dramatic jump up. So what's going to happen with some of these series that you know are going to be highly physical series? I think Lakers-Denver has a chance to be that. The Knicks, obviously, the Knicks-Sixers has a chance to get that way. Cavs Magic has a chance to get that way with two good defensive teams. And now you're saying, wait a minute, I'm allowed to get away with a lot more physical contact than I could in the regular season. And then sometimes what happens is the officials, once they go down that road, they have a hard time dialing that back at that point. And it just continues to escalate where it becomes much harder to operate offensively. I'm really curious to see how this series is officiated, because I think if this is free flowing, and a lot of stuff's being called on grabs and holds, you know, off the ball or hand checks out of the perimeter, Minnesota's going to have a harder time, because Phoenix did finally find a pretty good offensive rhythm, finally, over the last few weeks heading into the postseason.
What about the other side of the court? You know, Minnesota now attacking the Phoenix Suns. What do you see as key here? And what role does Karl-Anthony Towns play? I mean, again, you're trying to go big. You have to beat them in big ways because you're going to concede the small ways. What's the goal there for Minnesota?
Yeah, look, I think the key is this. I think the key is I worry about Minnesota when that shot clock is down inside 6, 5, 4, when your team's called red, whatever you might call in that situation. That's when I worry about them a little bit. And I feel much better about Phoenix in those situations. And Phoenix, you know, you think there will be a number of those with a good defensive team. You're going to get run down into the shot clock. Like Booker, Beal, Durant's ability to just go get something good for yourself right now. I don't trust as many guys on Minnesota to do that. So I think a key is not to have as many possessions get down there. I think play a little bit faster up the court, play a little faster in the first 10, 12 seconds of the shot clock. You know, I think the dives by particularly Gobert, his screen dive game is going to be absolutely essential to this series and rewarding him and making Phoenix pay for smaller teams on the court and beating up those wings that are trying to rotate and pinch down because Nurkic is caught trying to stop the guard. And here goes Gobert to the rim. You got to reward him, and he's got to finish and make him pay so that you're sucking them more into the paint to create some space on the perimeter for their guys. But I think that's going to take place in the first 10, 12, 15 seconds of the clock. Really good intent, purposeful with what you're doing. Attack Phoenix early. Gobert, I've always marveled at his ability to set a screen to 25 feet, run to the rim, nothing happens, turn, sprint back out to 25 feet, set another screen for somebody else, dive back to the rim, and then turn and sprint back on defense. It's really something incredible to watch sometimes for a guy that big to exert that much effort offensively when he's not touching the ball. And he's going to have to be probably doing that at a higher level than he ever has in his career. But I think it's key that they don't find themselves in too many late possessions where the ball's in Anthony Edwards' hands and he's just trying to go create something good for himself.
He's also just going to have a great series because those type moments are coming. You want to limit them, but he's going to have to be really big in those. And to be honest with you, that should be a matchup. The way Nurkic plays the pick and roll defense, there should be opportunities for him to catch, to make tough shots, but to get the opportunity to get into his shooting form. So I think a lot is going to be on Anthony Edwards' shoulders. Any final thoughts before we move on? We're on a time crunch, so I want to keep it moving. But any final thoughts on the series?
No, I think this is one of the more compelling ones in the first round because you're literally talking about, you know, that it's almost like a football matchup. What are you betting on? Are you betting on some team's great defense and their ability to stop a great offense? Which one do you think wins out in football? And in this case, in the NBA playoffs, which one are you willing to bet on? I think that's what this series is. And that's why it's really, really interesting. Most of the other ones, I think, you know, the teams are similar. They're either both good defensive teams or it's going to be – you feel like a shootout on paper. They don't turn into that in the playoffs. In this case, this has to be dictated by pace and score. If these scores are getting up, these teams are in the 30s in the first quarter, Minnesota's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, let's take our first break. On the other side, we're going to get to Cavs Magic. But while we take this break, if you're watching along live in the live stream, let us know in the comments who you're taking, Wolves or Suns. I'm kind of curious just to see what the crowd is feeling on this one as we go to break. All right, first break. I want to tell you guys about the Game Time app. If you're trying to look for tickets this weekend to a playoff game or maybe to an event in your area, hop on that Game Time app. You get last-minute ticket deals. You get flash deals, zone deals, easy to find to buy tickets to any event in your area. It's easy to find out what's going on in your area. You got views from all the different seats in your venue, and then you have the lowest prices guarantee, even event cancellation protection, job loss protection, and several other little hidden features. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code ALLMBA, A-L-L-M-B-A. When you do, you get $20 off your first purchase. Again, create an account, super easy. Just go to the App Store, download it, and then use code ALLNBA when you're creating that account for $20 off. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed. Also want to tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook, the presenting sponsor today. You can see our betting specials. We have the East Coast up. As soon as this show ends, the West Conference predictions will go in. It's like a 8-minute video where we basically just pick each series. Who are we taking? How many games do we think it goes? You can check those out on our YouTube channel. And of course, we're using DraftKings for all of our betting needs. 82 game preseason is in the books. It's finally time to get to the postseason, the real postseason. These play-in games tonight should be good. I'm excited for them, but I'm very excited for Saturday and Sunday. And right now, you can get your same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. They have odds boosts on every single game. So whatever series you're looking at, game one, they'll have like four or five specialty bets there. It'll be like Jokic triple-double and Nuggets win and give you a boosted odds on that. So they always have some fun ones like that, so you don't even have to put things together. You just click on that one and lay down your wager. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code ALLNBA. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code ALLNBA on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, segment two of the All-NBA show. Legs, I don't know if you saw the comments during that break. We have the whole spectrum. Suns in five, Wolves in five, Suns in seven, Wolves in seven. That's why that series is going to be so good, is I really think that people, it's one of those ones where it could go either way, and I think the audience is going to be divided on that one. That's how you know it's going to be a great series. I actually think Cavs Magic is going to be a great series. Maybe the best series of the playoffs that nobody watches, other than you and I, of course. But let's get into this one. I talked about this in the day your internet dropped off, and I noted two things. There are two matchups. It's rare that you get best players going up against each other, and even more rare when they're younger players. Banchero versus Mobley is a great matchup of an offensive young big and a defensive young big, guys that are going to be around the league for a long time, guarding each other. And that's part of what makes this series so compelling, is that matchup is going to play a pivotal role.
Agreed, man. I'm stoked for this series. Like, I know maybe it's not going to generate the national interest that certainly a lot of these other ones are, because of the name power associated with some of these series. This could be one of those ones, man, that every game's compelling and close and decided late. Two really good defensive teams. I think the Cavs, you know, you obviously give them the nod from an experience standpoint, just being in different situations. And they've got a guy in Donovan Mitchell who has been like the primary go-to guy on playoff teams, expecting every night something big out of him. He's had that on his shoulder. This is Banchero's opportunity to kind of go through that and show what he is. And there's a lot right there for him. Win or lose, Banchero has an opportunity to really make a statement about what he is, who he is, and what this franchise has in him. We all love him. He's had a great couple years in the league, but this is different, man. You go in here and you go and get 30 a night in a series, a long series, and you make big plays late. It's all in front of him. They're going to need him to do it to be able to extend the series. And I think he's capable of doing it. But these games could be close. They're going to be really defended well in the fourth quarter, both teams. And I think ultimately I look at the number of guys on Cleveland, I think offensively that I just trust more to have an impact than I do for the Orlando Magic. And I think this, you know, the Magic got to go through a progression, man. They're so young. It's a progression. Yeah. So if they have a hell of a first round series, they lose a 6 or 7 to the Cavs, that is absolutely something to build on going forward, particularly if Banchero and maybe a couple other guys really step up in this series. You know that, hey, the stage wasn't too big. We got something to build on here. But I just think Cleveland has more guys that are capable of making plays when you're going to need them.
Let me give you a stat that I saw today, courtesy of Michael Pina, who writes for The Ringer, did a great preview. Franz Wagner, my guy, from three-point line since the All-Star break, 18%. Shooting 18% since the All-Star break. Now, he's been injured for portions of that, you know, came back from injury. But when you talk about scoring, they're a team that struggled to score all year anyway, especially in the clutch. But then you talk about one of their key guys and the guy who's really an initiator for them in the clutch, shooting 18%, you know, going into the playoffs. That is the cause for concern. You're worried that the Magic can't score enough points. And that, to me, he's going to have to make threes, and he's going to have to be great in the clutch against a really good Cavs defense.
When the percentage you shoot for an extended period of time from the three is lower than the percentage you typically tip when you eat dinner out, that's typically not a good sign. That's my rule of thumb. You know, Adam, that's not etched in stone anywhere. That's just the way I kind of feel about it. You know, so yeah, that's not a great sign. I've become a big fan of Franz Wagner. I think his upside is higher than I thought it was at the NBA level as a scorer. My concern with them has always been the same thing. I don't think they've got a real traditional plate setter, table setter, guard on their roster. They've got guys I like. particularly Suggs and his defensive ability, which is going to be huge in this series, and his ability to guard all three of those guys. You know, I'll throw LeVert in there as well as Garland Mitchell. Like, he's got to have his hands full. But, hey, his stamina is incredible with putting pressure on guards and just not quitting on plays and making guys' life miserable. He brings that. His scoring's actually got an uptick later in the year, which is important. But I think an organizer, a true lead guard, could be something that could be invaluable to them as they move forward. But yeah, that's not a great sign. It's also not a great sign. You know, they lost 4 out of 6 down the stretch. This was a team we watched all year. We just kept saying, hey, man, give them credit. They haven't gone away. They're not going anywhere. And it's not like that's, you know, horrific stretch. Teams certainly had worse than that. But it's not the momentum with winning close games and winning games down the stretch that you would have liked to seen from a team that did a lot of that to that point in the season. So Wagner, doesn't sound like he's shooting it as good as he can. They're not playing as well as they can. And now you come into a series with the Mavs, with the Cavs, who had issues because of injuries mainly, but now they've got guys back. So I think it just any way you slice it, I think you have to lean in Cavs' favor.
Here's the other thing is the Cavs, I'm always – whenever you see a team, when the key for them is to not turn it over or fast breaks, you know, cut down fast breaks, those are the things that you that tend to be things you can improve in a playoffs because it's a lot about focus. It's a lot about, okay, we have a game plan now. The Magic have to force turnovers to be in this series. They have to because I don't think they can score enough in the half court. And they averaged over 24 points a game off of turnovers in their matchups, their three matchups with the Cavs this year, or maybe it was four matchups. Actually, I think it was four matchups with the Cavs this year. 24 points per game off of turnovers. I don't know if that's sustainable in a postseason.
No,
I feel like
no.
In the playoffs, you're not going to get that.
Fair. That's fair. You're right. Because you can get the turnovers up in a playoff atmosphere. You're not converting like that because you're not running like that to that extent. It's just not. The pace of these games is going to be slower for the most part. So it's very hard to convert at that rate. And if that's like something you're counting on offensively, I agree. That could be an issue. What do you think about the coaching matchup in this series?
Man, I haven't thought, I mean, you know, I love Mosley. I've talked about him as when we did our coach of the year, show, we both actually liked him as coach of the year. So I would give him the edge, but here's the thing. We haven't seen it. That
right.
This is also first time, you know, for the coaching staff. And I think that there's a learning curve for coaches as well.
So I think when you look at everything in its totality, and it sounds like, you know, there's some similarities here and we're making pretty strong comparisons. We think it's going to be a tough series, like a closely played series. And look, I've seen series that were 5 games that were really closely played. So yeah. I don't know what the number of games are going to end up being. I think this is going to be a close series. What is the one thing you look at then and say that's probably the advantage for them? If I were to look at one, it's Donovan Mitchell. It's Donovan Mitchell, man. As a guy that, look, he in Utah, when he had to carry it all, I felt like offensively, I didn't necessarily love the way that looked because yeah. I felt like I know what's going to happen here. He's going to come. He's got to bring the ball up the floor. This is pretty like getting Conley. Bring the ball up in a big spot. And then get a ball screen and you get downhill, get the rim, or shoot a three, or ISO and shoot a step back three. And I felt like he wasn't consistent enough in doing that to get a good quality shot in that position. I think he's been better since he got to Cleveland. And I think he still is a guy that has worn that crown as the guy in those spots that are sometimes pivotal moments, pivotal quarters in series. He has worn that before, and this is going to be new territory for the Magic.
Yeah, definitely new territory. I'll tell you, my X factor for the series is Jonathan Isaac. So I made this point the other day on the show when you dropped out. They played him 26 minutes for the first time in the second to last game, and then played him 26 minutes for the second time in the last game. To me, he's a guy that all year, in and out of the lineup, obviously, 15 minutes, 18 minutes, that was it. Bit player. But he's so impactful defensively. And it looks like they might be trying to play him 30 minutes a night, 25 to 30 minutes a night in the postseason. He is so impactful that doubling his minutes makes them a different team, in my opinion, if he's able to stay healthy and stay on the floor. So for me, as good as the Magic have been defensively this year, and they've been great, I think they were third defensively, you're doubling the minutes of a guy who might be your best defensive player?
Yeah.
That they might have an untapped defensive ceiling that we see in this playoffs when we go, oh my God, as good as the Cavs are, they can't score on this team because he doubled his minutes.
I like it. And I like the whole I think mentality around an X factor is like somebody that you think has like substantially more ceiling within a series for whatever reason that potentially, and it might not be every night, but potentially could show itself at an important moment and be a tipping point. I said Mitchell to me was the difference in terms of like settling things as you trust him. If I picked an X factor, it would be Suggs, because I know his defense is going to be there, but there's also nights when he scores for them.
Yeah.
And when he scores 15 to 20, that really makes them now a much more viable threat to win a game, to win a series. So let's see what happens with his offense. He's got to provide that for Banchero, Wagner. He's got to provide it. And if he's not, if he's streaky, if he has a series, you know, where he shoots in the 30s, just can't knock down threes consistently, I don't think they can win the series. So I think Suggs, for me, is an X factor. The nights he's given them 15 and up, I think that's going to make them, you know, tough to beat on that given night. Now, can he do that enough nights in a series to tip it? We'll see. But his scoring can fluctuate, you know, pretty dramatically. So, you know, he has to be in the mindset, hey, man, I can't have a 6-point game, 8-point game. They need more out of me than that every night.
He's capable of it. He's a winning player. I told you, he's on the list of my guys. Somebody was making a joke earlier that I could fill a whole roster with my guys. I can. And Jalen Suggs will be on the list of my guys. We got to get you out of here, Legs. But as we do every Friday, and we're not going to quit just because it's the play-in week, we ask who won the week in the NBA. Not as many teams playing, so we have some new candidates, some first-time candidates. I got for you, Legs. Kobe White, 42-piece in his in the play-in. Zion, this one's a tough one because he lost the game, but my God, he was the best player on the court in a you know, Lakers-Pelicans matchup. Nick Batum, 6 of 10 from 3, and then the Sacramento Kings as a team finally beating the Golden State Warriors and keeping their hopes alive. So Kobe White, Zion, Nick Batum, Sacramento Kings. Of those four, who would you pick, or would you go outside the box?
I would go with option 5. I would go with a different selection. The winner of the week for me is the New York Knicks / Jalen Brunson, because here's the thing, okay. they were killing themselves down the stretch, like, to win these games. They go to overtime on Sunday to lead to the 2 seed, and then got beat up for it by the Knicks media, saying, "What are you doing? Yeah, you're gonna have to play the Sixers probably in the first round, and the Sixers look like the most dangerous team in the East besides Boston." And what happens? Joel Embiid looks like he did against the Miami Heat. And by the way, also, Jimmy Butler goes down too. So, you know, if they had been the team to somehow survive that game. So now you're looking at a wounded Sixers team. And look, I did some Philadelphia talk radio over the last couple of days. And I was shocked at the mentality that they think this is all conditioning and wind. And he was just out of shape. And it wasn't his leg. And I'm going, you're not something different than I was. I think that's just them kind of holding on to that because he's always banged up in the playoffs. I saw something different. I saw a lack of mobility, a lack of explosiveness. He still can be effective, but not dominant. If he looks like that, that to me completely changed the dynamic of the series, watching Embiid, which means now the Knicks are going to have that opportunity. Because even in the next round, who knows what they're getting? They might get Indiana. They might get the Bucks, and we don't know what's going to go on with Giannis. I think for me, the big winner was the Knicks getting to that 2 spot, avoiding the Celtics, and also now you get the Sixers diminished and maybe another diminished team in the next round, possibly paving your way to the conference finals. So I say Brunson and the Knicks.
I love it. I love that you went with the team. Didn't play this week. They still won the week. I like it because they pushed themselves. Hit that outro music, Emma. I could have got you to pick the Kings. If instead of the Kings, I would have said Keegan Murray. You would have taken that one, I think.
That's a good one. Yeah.
So definitely. Maybe I should have said
Keegan Murray. Let's see, man. Did you set the bar? Can you do it again on the road in New Orleans? Remains to be seen.
Keegan Murray versus Trey Murphy. More of my guys, Legs. More of my guys.
But Hartenstein is your number one guy.
Go, man. Jaime Jaquez might be number one. Jaime Jaquez might be my number one. That hair is too perfect. That does it for the week, guys, and that does it for our play-in week. We are back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. And by then, every team will have played a playoff game. I can't wait for it, and I can't wait to break it down with all of you. Hit that like button for us on the way out. We'll be back on Tuesday.
man.